The book of Proverbs, chapter 14, and then we'll turn to chapter 16. Chapter number 14, we'll start there first. Chapter number 14 of the book of Proverbs, and you ought to familiarize yourself with the book of Proverbs. It's a library for life. If you want to just have a definitive statement about what the book of Proverbs is, it is a book of wisdom that addresses any and every subject matter that you can think of, and it's a good thing to familiarize yourself with it. Proverbs chapter number 14, we're going to read verse number 12, and then we're going to turn and read in chapter 16, and you're going to find that the verse is almost identical in both places. But I want to look at it. The Bible says in chapter number 14, verse number 12, there is a way. Now notice he didn't say there might be a way or possibly. No, he's making it a definite. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Now get that. There is a way that which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If you want a verse that identifies delusion and deception, right there it is. There's many, but that's one. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse number 25. There is a way which there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, we know without any shadow of a doubt, Lord, that you have burdened my heart. And would not let me get away from this verse and these verses. And Lord, I don't know all that you're wanting me to say about these verses. But I do know, and you just kept confirming it over and over throughout the night and even this morning, that I need to just trust you and look at these verses. And I pray that you'll speak to us and that you will help us with it. May your will, Lord, be done. And we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The Bible said there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Think about that statement. That word way there has the idea of a journey or a path or a road. Direction is involved in that word a way there. There is a journey. There is a path. There is a way. There is choices that you can make that will seem to be right. And we need to be very careful. That's where we need spiritual discernment. That's where we need scriptural help, is because we are in danger of making a wrong assumption, a wrong move, a wrong direction if it seems right. This verse, chapter 14 and also chapter 16, both of those verses clearly shows us that that road, that journey, that path, that choice may feel right, it may look right, it may seem to be right, but in fact, it is wrong. It turns out to not be for you. It turns out to not be a positive. It turns out to not be a plus in your life. It's not a benefit. In fact, the verses both ended the same way, but the end thereof. The end thereof are the ways of death. Now, may I say that the devil would not want to put that ending in that verse. He would just want to say there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And he would like to put another ending there. And blessed is the man who walks therein, or He'll want to paint a pretty picture, but all we here that have been saved for a while and have studied our Bibles, we know that the devil always paints a pretty picture, but the end result is devastating. And you can look in any direction in our country, even not just in the world, but in our country, you can look in any direction and see that that person that just out of curiosity as to wondering what alcohol would taste like, not really tempted, but just curious, maybe hanging around some others that were talking about it, and they got curious and took their first taste of alcohol. And all of those that are full blown alcoholics this evening or this morning, all of those started with just one sip. One taste. Are you listening? Oh, but the devil won't tell you now. If you drink this, you're going to wind up under a bridge. You're going to be winding up sleeping under a cardboard box in an alley and cannot hold a job and lose your family. And your family can't handle, and your children are hungry because you're drinking up all of your paychecks. Oh, the devil won't tell you that. The devil won't take you to the hospital or to the various institutions of our day that deals with the end result and show people that their liver is eat out of them and they're dying because of alcohol. And we could say that about a number of directions, a number of subjects, drugs, you name it. But the devil never wants to in that verse the way God, that's why you need to trust God. That's why you need the Bible, is because the Bible will tell it like it is. God does not sugarcoat His Word. Now I know that if you get some of the perversions, in fact, the only one you need to trust is the King James Bible. That's the only one you need to trust. You can trust it. It's got superior. It comes from superior manuscripts. They can't all be the same because they don't come from the same source. Are y'all listening? It can't be. They can't all be the same. Amen. The only one I know of that is honest with the translation is the King James. In your King James Bible, and I'm not wanting to get off on this, but your King James Bible is the only one that I'm aware of all of these so-called Bibles that have italicized words. You know what that is? That's translators being honest with us when they say, we're really not sure about this, and so we're going to italicize this word to let you know that we've added this. That's honesty. That's integrity right there. Amen? Praise God. But anyway, listen, we need the Word of God because the Word of God will tell us there are ways in your life. There will be choices in your life, and there will be directions in your life that appearance looks good and emotions look good and it feels good. And you know others that are going in that direction. If you're not careful and you don't let the Bible be the supreme authority in your life, then you're subject to make a wrong move. But when you come to the latter part of that verse where it says, but the end thereof are the ways of death, a lot of times people find that out not because they read it. They find that out because they lived it. Can I say to all of us here this morning, can I say to us, you don't have to live it to find... No, let me word it this way. You don't have to live it to know it. Thank God. Amen. All things are written for our learning, the Bible says. This Bible records men's failures, men's mistakes. And you know why it's in there? It's in there for our learning, to let us know that if we make those same choices, the end result is going to be the same. Oh, don't be foolish. And I'm asking God to help me to not be so foolish to think that the result will be different with me. If I do what those did and I make the choices they did, then it's the results are going to be the same. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, my. Lord, help us this morning as we think about this, that the way that seemeth right. I don't even really have a title, but I guess that would be a good one. It's right there in the scripture. The way or a way that seemeth right. And there's a lot of people that you will encounter and deal with in your life, and it's evidence from the Bible that they're going in the wrong direction. It's evident they're making wrong choices, but you can't hardly talk to them. You can't get anywhere with them. You know why? It seems right what they're doing. And they'll reject preaching that addresses that way that seemeth right. They will reject parental instruction and parental discipline. They will reject anything that contradicts that seeming to be right. There's a way that seemeth to be right. One of the worst things that could happen to you is that you have closed eyes to God's word and closed ear to God's preaching that He gives you. Amen. One of the worst things you can do. There is a way that seemeth right. Oh, I thought about Eve this morning. I thought about her and Adam in the Garden of Eden. I thought about how that the serpent began a conversation with her about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we all know that the devil didn't tell Eve that you need to go get drunk or you need to do and mention various things. But he approached her with questioning the word of God. In other words, hath God said? Did God really say that in the day that you eat thereof you surely die? Oh, God didn't really mean that. And he caused Eve to start questioning the final authority. Are y'all listening to the preacher this morning? It don't matter who you are. Don't matter who you are. The word of God is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Does everybody understand that? It is the final authority. There, you don't need to ask Dr. Doodiddle what he thinks about it. It don't matter what Sister Wigglejaws has got to say on the matter. What does the Bible say? Anybody that will turn their back and face away from the Word of God and say, I'm not interested in what the Bible said, I just know how I feel. They're headed down the path that seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Are you listening? And so we want to look at this just for a little bit this morning. Let me just share a few things the Lord spoke to my heart about this seemeth right idea. What if we applied that thought and let that be the governing thought for our country in every area? If it seems right, just go ahead. What about some of the mass murderers? They probably thought that was right. And to be honest with you, they probably even had some pleasure mixed in with it. Perverted, of course. Demonic, definitely. Devilish, no doubt. Wicked, beyond all description, yes. But no, they felt like, hey, they did it. You can't trust your feelings. You won't be saved long that you'll know that. You can't trust your feelings. You can't trust your emotions. But what if we took that, there is a way that seemeth right, and just applied it in America across the board to every area? Let me give you some examples. What if we applied it to the subject of navigation? What if we just said, take the path of your choice? What if there was no red lights and stop signs? What if there was no yellow lines and white lines? Everything was just a free-for-all. Just drive on whatever side of the road you want to. Stop if you want to. Go when you want to. We would have chaos beyond description in this country. Isn't that right? Oh my, that's exactly right. So navigation, I mean, you think about that. I thought about this morning. I wonder where, see, I don't know if you've ever heard of this town or not. I'm going to try to pronounce it right and ask if you ever heard of it. Minoe, that's a town. Minoe. M-O-N-O-W-I. How many's heard of that? Nobody's heard of it? You're kidding me. The reason I brought up that town, I wanted to first see if anybody knew of it. I didn't figure nobody would, because I'd never heard of it. Guess what the population is? And I'm talking, this is legit. They got a zip code and everything. They've only got one resident, one occupant in the town. And she's the mayor, the librarian. She's the, I got it right here. She covers all the bases. I wonder if she can get along with herself. I didn't look at it a whole lot, but I wonder if there's two churches in town. She goes to one day and she don't like it, so she goes to the other one the next Sunday. But this town, listen, this is hilarious. But it's all legit. I mean, it's true. They've got a sign there at the entrance. And it's just a couple of buildings, and that's it. The roads where it showed a stop sign, I've seen pictures. A road with a stop sign, it's got grass growing. There's not enough traffic to even keep the grass down. And this lady keeps that little town going. I guess she pays herself. I don't know. She raises her own taxes so she can keep the water on and three street lamps going. But what if I told you, in order for you to be saved, you've got to go to Minoe? You'd say, preacher, I don't have a clue. I don't even have a clue how to get there. And I did it this morning. Guess where it's at? It's in Nebraska. The smallest town in America. And I got my phone, turned on my location, and I said, navigate to Minoe, Nebraska. And within seconds, I had a laid out path of turns and roads that will take me from Rogersville to Minoe, Nebraska. But what if I was saying, okay, I'm going to go to Minoe, Nebraska, but I'm just going to do the seemeth right choice. I mean, you probably would be hard to find Minoe, Nebraska if you was doing it on purpose with navigation, with a map. I mean, you're talking about just a wide place in the road, really not even hardly that. There would be pretty much no way to find that if you just went off every time you come to a stop sign or every time you come to a road intersection. Well, let's see what seems right here. You'd wind up somewhere, but it probably wouldn't be your desired destiny. So what if we had that applied, this seemeth right idea in the area of navigation? No maps, no compass, no GPS, nothing. Just wing it. Just wing it and guess at it. I don't know if you remember this. I read a story one time of a man that he loved to fish open water in the ocean. He just loved it. But he kept getting lost. All the time he would get lost. And his friends would have to go out. Every time he'd go, they'd have to go find him and lead him back in. So they got sick and tired of that, and they thought, I tell you what, let's do. Let's all pitch in together, and let's buy this fella a compass. And so they pitched in. They bought him a real nice high-tech compass, and they gave that to him and thinking, well, problem solved. So they give him this compass, and he takes and goes out fishing, and guess what? He didn't come back in. The friends got worried and concerned, and so they went out after him, and they found him. Of course, they give him a little lecture. And they said, well, what happened? Why are you lost? Why could you not find your way back? And we bought you this compass. Why couldn't you not find your way back? And he pulled that thing out, and he said, this is a piece of junk. He said, I've tried every way in the world to get this thing to point in the right direction, and it wouldn't do it. He was wanting to operate off of what seemed right. Compass is accurate. Compass is going to point north whether you like it or not. Amen. And he said, I kept trying to turn it. He said, I kept trying to change it. I'd shake it. And he said, it kept pointing in the wrong direction. Are you listening? Oh, the Bible is our compass this morning. And if we're not careful, we will disregard its principles and its direction in our life. What about this? What if we apply this seemeth right idea to the area of evaluation? Testing. We've got what, three teachers here? Is that right? Am I right on that? Three teachers here, I believe? Two and a half, something? No, I'm just kidding. What if you did your testing, Miss Paula Sue, with this seemeth right? And your student said, "Just well, let's see, 2 + 2 = 25. No standard involved, just whatever seems right. I'd probably scored high if I'd have done that. Yeah, if we'd have guessed at it. But what if somebody said, well, Miss Paula Sue said, no, 2 + 2 = 4. Well, no, that don't seem right to me. That don't seem right. That don't change it. It don't matter what it seems. It may feel it. You may think you're right. But the standard says 2 + 2 = 4. And you missed it. And an X goes by that answer. So what if we apply that to the area of evaluation? What if we, and I could say more about that. What if we apply this principle? Well, it seems right. What if we apply this to the area of construction? Building a building. Building cabinets. What if we apply this? Oh, it seems right, preacher. What if we do that in the area of construction? I just got a couple of things here that might help us see what we're talking about. Ha! How many knows what this is? That's what I thought. I don't know, Bridge. I've never seen one. That wasn't on my video game. And how many knows what this is? What if you did not have these standards? Brother Fultz, you build cabinets. What if you didn't have no aids far as measurement, you know, squaring things up? I should have brought a square. I didn't think of it just now. But what if he just guessed at it? That looks like about 42 inches. And then the next piece of board he cuts, well, I think that's probably close to 26. And I wouldn't want those cabinets in my house. Because they would not be in formation. They would be one long board, one short board, one. But what would fix that, Brother Fultz? Tell me. In other words, this takes the seeming part out, and this says this is a standard. If you wanted a certain, if it says I need a 24 inch, you just pull this out. You don't guess at it. Right there's 24 inches, and cut it, nail it, glue it, sell it. You want me to start selling for you, brother? You're trying to come up with a standard of plum. How many knows what plum is? No, I'm not talking about what you ate or you can eat. The minor prophets in the Bible calls it a plumb bob. The plumb line. Not plumb bob, plumb line. They didn't have levels then. They did vertical and horizontal. They had plumb lines that they would bring the wall. They wouldn't just, Brother Jeter, build a wall and say, that looks about right. How many's been in some houses I think that was the way it was worked? Brother Preston, my first home me and my wife lived in was only 825 square feet. 925 square feet, I mean. That's about that big. And anyway, it's not near big enough, I can tell you. But anyway, but the walls in that thing, I don't know when it was built. It was old as dirt. I mean, Noah may have lived in it. I don't know. But it was old. And the walls, I'm telling you, was crooked. I mean, the door, you could look at the door frames. And down at the bottom, it might be that wide. And up at the top, it might be touching the sidewall. I mean, you could open the door, and the door would go, shing. It would close on its own or open on its own. But what would be the fix of that? When you're using a level to level a wall that you're wanting to be straight or flat, this takes out the guesswork, the seeming. Well, it seems right. That looks good, close enough. God's people don't operate off of that standard. Well, that's close enough, preacher. That's good enough. I mean, look at all the other crooked places around. Look at all the other things that's not measured in our life. And we're raised, listen, there's a generation on the scene today that does not want any kind of standard. They don't want any kind of a rule. And 1 Corinthians 10 talks about the rule. They don't want anything that will show them they are wrong. They can say till they fall over or pass out, I'm right, everybody else is wrong. Well, let's settle it. Everybody can't be right. Everybody can't be wrong. Let's settle it. Let's not guess at it and say, well, that looks like that certain inches or that looks plumb. No, let's get the thing out here and settle. See that, Brother Ivan, it ain't plumb. Yeah. You're gonna have to redo it. Oh yeah, that's crooked. I see up here. Well, now that the top there's dead on. I don't know how that happened. But how many of us would have looked at that and said, "Hey, that looks pretty good. That looks pretty good." And we would not know that this angle right here and this angle right here is out of plumb unless we use the standard. Are y'all listening to preacher? The standard for all faith and practice is the Word of God. Amen. So if we use that in the area of construction, we don't need blueprints, we don't need rulers, we don't need squares, we don't need levels, we don't need any of that. We're just going to, whatever seems right, we're going to nail it, glue it, cement it in, whatever. Yeah, it'd be a mess, wouldn't it? That's what happens to a life that operates in the seeming right. You're going to be all out in left field. You're going to be all out of kelter. You're going to be all out of plum. And you know what happens? Listen, watch this right here. I want everybody watching this right here. Let me check this right here. Yeah, that's out of mile. But you can't tell it from looking at it. Brother Stephen, can you tell that that's out of plumb just by looking at it? He's shaking his head no. And he's got glasses on. Now, I don't know if y'all can see this or not, but I'm going to move it to where it's right. Notice the bottom of the level. Right there it is. Can you see that, Brother McWilliams? No further of a distance than that is, it's already out probably an eighth inch. From right there to right there, it was eighth of an inch out of square. No big deal, preacher. I mean, after all, it's just a little bit. Yeah. Take that eighth of an inch that's out in that much of a distance and shoot that same angle out 100 yards, and you're talking an eighth of an inch is probably turned into to several inches, maybe even a few feet. And then take that on further out in your life, and you're going to even be further off course and further out of level and further away from the rule, and your life will be a wreck, and you'll look around and say, "Under God, how did I get here? How did I get in this mess?" There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. My, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. My goodness. This verse of Scripture shows us the potential and the possibility of being deceived. There is a way that seemeth right. That is, I'm convinced, it feels it, it looks it, it appears to be. I can't, everybody in you ought to say, "I can be deceived." You ought to tell yourself that. I can be looking at it wrong. I can be thinking about it wrong. I can be feeling about it wrong. All of us can be. So what's going to settle the matter? What is it that we must do to settle the issues? It can't be opinion based. Because everybody in here can look at that and say, "Well," and you guess at how far it was off plumb. We could have probably said, "Well, I don't know. You just kind of move your head and try to figure it out." You know, you don't have to try to figure out life. Just get in the Bible. Find out what the Bible says about these things. Amen. And I know, listen, I know me. I know that I am prone to think the wrong thing. I am prone to feel the wrong feeling. I'm prone to be inclined to move in the wrong direction. I have done that in my life. That's why I don't trust that seeming choices. Amen. Now it's clear, listen. It's real clear that the Bible don't deal with everything in your life. It won't tell you what car to buy. It won't. It won't tell you. I mean, you can't find a verse. Brother McWilliams, you and Miss Kim came from Florida. You didn't find a verse of Scripture. It said, "Thou shalt move to Rogersville, Tennessee, and join Rogersville Baptist Temple." It's just not there. But here's the principle. If God cannot lead you in what the Bible does say, He will not be able to lead you in what the Bible does not say. Amen. Amen. It's not what the Bible doesn't say that causes us problems. It's that we're living a lot of times and making seeming choices contrary to what the Bible says. Well, we're having a good time. Amen. But there is the danger of deception. You can be convinced and persuaded that this is a right move. And oh, you might need to slow down and make sure your spiritual life is up to where it needs to be. And get in this book and get in prayer with God of this book. And say, "God, I don't want to miss your will. I don't want to get out of the will of God. I don't want to go in the wrong direction. Lord, show me." And if you don't show me and if you don't speak to me, I am refusing to make the move. That's good sense right there. But how many times has it been discovered after the fact that you made the wrong move? Amen. Anybody in here brought the wrong car? Me and Brother Ivan's the only one. And Brother Ellsworth. He didn't say that. I said it for him. But anyway. Get looking at the paint job. Get to looking at the wheels. And get to looking at it with yourself sitting in it. And before you know it, buddy, hey, it's got to be God's will. Can you afford it? No. Can't even keep the lights on. Food. You're eating one meal a day. Oh, I got to have it. I had a family that used to go to church here. He told me, and I'm talking about broke, poor as Job's turkey. Ever how poor that was? That was pretty poor. It's not even in the Bible. And he said to me one day, he said to me, preacher, he said, I'm thinking about buying a brand new Jeep. Now, listen, I don't believe pastoral authority goes overboard in dealing with a lot of your personal matters, but I could not help myself. I said, you said what now? You can't even provide a place for your family to live, and you're wanting to buy a brand new Jeep? I said, let me help you with something. God is not in a million miles of that decision. Amen. Amen. Now, whether he went and bought it or not, he didn't. But if he had, I wouldn't have. I'd probably rode in it. But I tell you, God will give you good sense if you'll let him. Lord, I pray that God give us wisdom. James chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and he shall receive it. There's been many times I've prayed, Lord, give me wisdom. I don't know. I'm subject to see something wrong. I'm subject to look at something thinking this is a sign. Oh, God, I saw that. I need to go in that direction. How many of us have done that? You saw something and you thought, well, hey, that's God talking to me. Boy, I've made some major mess-ups on that. And some things don't bother you. I mean, you can get over it. You can sell it. Or it'll rot or rust or whatever. But you can go on with life. But some things, buddy, it's going to mark you. And you may be off just a little bit right here. But if you keep that same angle of direction, in 15 years, you may look at your family and your life and say, unto God, how in the world did we get off course this bad? It was back when Preacher Rackley was preaching on details and paying attention to little things. Amen. Well, I didn't get where I wanted to get, but it deals with deception. A lot of people are deceived about how they feel and choices they're making and direction they're going in when they look around and see who else is doing it. Does that make it right? I know this is elementary preaching. Does that make it right that you look around and you, well, preacher, it's got to be right. I mean, look at, look at all them, they're doing it. I was following my cousin one time, Roger, and Aunt Betty was in the car. She's still alive then. And they'd come to hear me preach down in Easley. And I said, y'all want to get a bite to eat and fellowship a little bit? Because I don't get to see, or didn't get to see Aunt Betty much. And they said, well, yeah. So I followed him. Boy, that was a mistake. He pulls out, and I mean, he lives in that area. He pulls out from the church and goes in the wrong direction from the parking lot. I said, oh, this is not going to be good. We won't eat before in the morning. And I'm flashing my lights. I'm trying to get him on the phone to let him know, hey, Roger, man, you're going the wrong direction. Where are you going? I don't want to go eat down in Alabama somewhere. And he went about 4 miles or so, and finally he pulled over and made a U-turn. I said, well, good. We're heading back toward civilization. I just kept following him. We come to the red light at Powdersville, and we were going to eat at Chick-fil-A, and right there's Chick-fil-A. I mean, right there, you can see it. And I'm following him now. He pulls out when the green light, and it's amazing he waited till the green light, but he pulled out, went across, and started going up the wrong way on a four lane. He thought everybody in that town was driving crazy, and it was him. But guess who didn't follow him? It's all right to follow somebody if it's clear that they are making decisions and making footsteps in a direction that's right, scripturally right. But when I saw him making the wrong move, I found my right foot on the brake and making a turn and going up the right side of the four lane. Just because all of your friends is doing it and drinking it and smoking it and taking it and going there and doing that, that don't make it right. Be your own person. Stand on your own two feet. Know what the Bible says yourself. Amen. If your friends go out and make a wrong turn, be strong enough, be disciplined enough to say, I'm not going with you. I'm not going with you. Amen. Because you won't be able, let's just say I'd have followed him. What if I'd have followed him and we went up through there a little ways and here come blue lights and all that kind of stuff. Guess what would have got me off the hook? Well, officer, I was just following him. You think that would have got me off the hook? Here's your good word, negative. No, you're not blameless. Even if you're following somebody else, listen, the Word of God, I can't stress that enough. The Word of God is the example. I'm going to skip on down, and I want to just give you these verses. I want you to listen to them as I read them and see if you hear a key thing brought out, and we'll be done. You shall not do after all these things that we do hear this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. That's Deuteronomy 12:8. Judges 17:6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, no rulership, no leadership in Israel. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and again, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And then Proverbs 12:15, the Bible said, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Man, there's some preaching in that verse. That one, Proverbs 12:15. Proverbs 21:2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Did y'all see the repeated thing there? Doing what is right in your own eyes. And this Bible is clear to show that can be, and most of the time is, wrong. Every man done that which was right in their own eyes. When there was no king in Israel, no authorities, what that means. When there was no authority in Israel, it freed up man to do whatever they wanted to do because there was no accountability. Let me give you this to think about for you before we leave. There are two basic standards of right in your life. You ever thought about that thought? What is right? What determines what is right? There's got to be a standard. There's got to be. And there are at least two. The Scriptures and the Spirit of God. And three times in John's Gospel, chapter 14. Chapter 14 has at one time the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Truth. Chapter 15, I believe it's verse 26. And chapter 16, verse number 6, I believe it is. I know three times the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Truth. It's called the Spirit of Truth. I want to give you that reference right there because some of you are taking notes and I want you to be able to write that down accurately. It's John 14, 17, John 15, 26, and John 16 and verse number 13. All three times the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Truth. Listen to what the Bible says. Howbeit, chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of Truth, truth is the standard, when He has come, He will guide you into all truth. He's the Spirit of Truth. He's going to guide you into truth. He's going to guide you into what He is. For He shall not speak of Himself. Whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He shall show you things to come. And then Jesus said, He will glorify Me. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. The Spirit of God will be working in your life, leading and guiding you into truth. You don't have to guess at your life. The Spirit of God can lead you and direct you. Amen. God help us. And of course, the other is the Scriptures. The supremacy of the Scriptures. When people make a decision to go in a direction that is contrary to the Bible, contrary to the nature of the Holy Spirit of truth, they're going against the standard. Well, what kicks in then? If you ignore the standard, what kicks in then? What seems right, what appears to be right. What feels right. Amen. What you think is right. I guess I'm trying to bring us to the point to where we are reassured of the necessity of the supremacy of the Scripture in our life. A fool, Brother Aaron, is one who knows to do good and do it not. One that knows the standard. One that knows what the purpose of a level is, but leave it in the car and say, I don't need that. A person that knows what the ruler is for, but I don't need that. I think I can guess at it close enough. And that's a fool. But a wise person would say, I don't know everything. And I need the Lord to help me. And parents, we need help raising children. Right here is a good manual on trying to help raise children. Say amen right there. Right here is the marriage manual. Right here is a marriage manual. Everything in your life, there's something said about it in this book right here. How do we know to be saved? What would happen right there? What would happen right there if you said, well, it just seems right that I can be saved by my good works. Now, you and I know better than that. But how many people that lives in Hawkins County still believes in their mind, I can get to heaven by being a good person? I've met several. You've met several. We've talked to them. I've got all kinds of answers when I ask them, what do you think it takes to get to heaven? I've had everything in the book told me. And a lot of it's commendable things. A lot of it commendable things. But when I said to that one, it still sticks out in my mind when I said to that gentleman on his front porch, in answer to that question, what does it take to get to heaven? He gave a list a mile long of commendable things. Be honest, treat your neighbor right, pay your bills, mind your own business, and all kinds of things. Never once did he mention Jesus. Never once. And I'll never forget it, Brother Aaron. I said to that man, I said, sir, I said, I want to make sure I understand. Are you saying that that list you just gave is what you're depending on to go to heaven? And he said, yes, sir. And I said, I just want to ask you one question. And I mean, I was talking just, I didn't have no tone, no attitude. I said, I want to ask you one question. If salvation, going to heaven, can come by that list you just gave, then why did Jesus die? And that's all I said. Just a basic question. Son, he took a step back and wham, slammed the door. You know what it was? God put the level up beside and said, nope, you're out. God put that rule there and said, no, you. And I didn't even say nothing. I just said, why did Jesus die? If that's the case, who did he die for? Did he die for people that just couldn't do that good stuff? Or did he die for the world? And if you know your Bible, we know he died for the world. He tasted death for every man. You know why? Salvation is not by works. It's not by being religious. It's not by being a church member. Salvation comes through the Savior and that alone. And his name is Jesus. Let's all stand to our feet. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If you're going in a direction, listen now, I'm about done. If you're going in a direction, making choices in your life, as a believer even, and you have no joy, mark it down. The Holy Spirit has nothing to do with those choices, because he is the one that produces joy. If you're going in a direction in your life and you're miserable and you're empty and you're in turmoil and you don't want to live, God is not in that, nowhere to be found. The author of deception is in charge, and he knows the destiny of that choice. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Here's the destiny, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let's pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you'll take the message, Lord, you burdened my heart with and would not let me get away from it. Lord, I wasn't as studied up on it as I felt like I need to be and like to be, but Lord, you give me great liberty this morning to preach, and I thank you. Lord, I know very simple, but I pray that God, you will help us all to always side with the Scriptures and with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would help those that are not saved to realize that they can make choices through life of what seems right. It may be good. It may be good, but it may not. It very likely may be wrong. Lord, I pray you'd help us to bring our life into alignment with the Spirit of truth and the Scriptures of truth. Lord, you said in the Word of God that you magnified the Word even above your own name. Lord, if you elevate the Word of God to such a high level, how much more should the Word of God, if it says don't, then we shouldn't. If it says do, we should. Whatever the Bible says to us, we need to bring our life into alignment with it. Instead of trying to change the Bible and redo it and alter it to get it to be smooth and non-confrontational, Lord, help us to line up with the Scripture this morning. Lord, I don't know all the reasons of why you sent the message, and that's not my business. I'm just to deliver the mail. And Lord, we've tried to do so this morning. Have your way in this invitation in Jesus' name.